720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Goof. Thanks for being with us tonight. It is so chilly outside, so I hope you are warm and snuggly wherever you are, and I appreciate you listening tonight. All right, my friends, we have been talking with all kinds of fascinating creative people this evening, and we're going to keep that going. Right now, we have a special guest in the studio. Mr. Zach Livingston is here with us. He is a Chicago actor, but he's just added a whole bunch of stuff to his resume, including director and filmmaker and crowdfunder and fight choreography guy. Like, lots of stuff is happening with you.
Yeah,
You have recently done this film that is about to premiere mighty soon here in Chicago.
Yeah. We're going to be premiering at the Music Box Theater on November 23rd.
The best. That place is the best.
I mean, it's just a beautiful venue. It's a total dream come true to be able to bring the film there, for sure. We're also going to be premiering online later that night, so it's kind of like a joint effort.
All right,
if you will,
guys, I got a confession to make. I got to see it a little bit early. I got to watch this, and it is so cool. It is not like any film you have seen before.
Thank you.
It is so interesting, and there's a very cool thing that you did, and that is you did it all in one take.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, a number of takes, but yeah, the whole thing is one shot.
That's what I mean. Yes.
There's no cuts.
I can't even talk.
There's no cuts. There's no edits of any kind.
So let us back up a little bit.
Yeah.
and talk way before we get to the part where my mind is blown by the fact that you did that with one shot. Talk to me just kind of about the project and how you came to this one.
Great question. So, you know, as an actor, you're either getting the opportunities that you feel like you should be getting or you're not. And a lot of actors...
Or you're making them.
Or you're making them, yeah. And that's kind of the third way. And where I came up in terms of my education as an actor and in terms of, you know, just being instilled in me the kind of like, this is how you need to handle your craft. Mm-hmm. If you're not getting it, you need to go out and get it. And so I thought, well, of course I'm going to make my own project. And, you know, a bunch of ideas kind of gesticulated and gestated in my head and... came through one way or the other, and I was always talking about doing something action-related because I've always done martial arts. I've always done fight choreography for the longest time. And using action as a style of storytelling instead of a replacement for storytelling, but as, you know, kind of a tool in the toolbox has always been something that really fascinated me and something that I feel like is occasionally served really beautifully. Like if you look at something like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a beautiful movie that uses action as an unbelievably dynamic, unique storytelling element. But then we had this whole like rash of like bad action movies in the 80s and 90s that kind of gave the genre a less savory name, if you will. But
where's the bottom of the barrel?
The bottom of the barrel for action movies?
Yeah.
I don't want to call anybody out.
Okay, haters are not going to hate.
Yeah, exactly. But I've always been fascinated in using that as a storytelling tool and really kind of digging into what you can do with that in terms of telling stories. But, you know, I wanted to create a project of my own. I knew that's how I wanted to structure it and what I wanted to do. But the question is, what kind of format are you going to do? And how are you going to release it? And how are you going to get it made? So I sat down and started writing this web series, actually. And I was in love with the characters and I was in love with the concept. And at that time, web series were just going nuts, mm-hmm. like bananas everywhere. Everybody was making a web series. And then it just became very crowded. And when you sit down and you start talking about doing a whole season of it, and it's all action, it's like, well, why don't you just make a feature? You know? So it's like, you got to figure out how you can approach this thing. It's like this many-tentacled problem. How am I going to produce something that is good and worth it without a ton of money, without a ton of experience, without a lot of backing? How are you going to do that? And you have to find an avenue in where you can break it down into pieces small enough to really wrap your arms around. So I said, okay, single short film, 5 minutes long. Well, how are we going to get people interested in a 5-minute short film? You can go on YouTube right now and there's
millions of them,
11 billion short action films, some of which are of amazing quality, some of which are dubious quality.
And some have varying degrees of self-seriousness attached to them.
Yeah.
Some are really like, I think if I had to say there's a theme to a lot of them, it is here is a guy who really wants everyone to know that he thinks he's badass.
Yes.
And would like to demonstrate why he believes that. And there's
a whole
lot of that.
There's
some
a
are
ton
in
of
front
it.
Of even... There's one of like a guy just kind of trying to do some newly acquired moves in front of a mirror and it goes bad. I mean, it's, yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot.
You run the whole gamut there. But there, yeah, there's a lot of like, look at me, I'm tough. And I can totally understand that impulse because I have it too. You know, I want people to think that I'm good at what I do and that I'm like this super tough guy and everything. But the fact of the matter is, unless you're already kind of there, that's not, to me, that compelling of a story. So how can you use that storytelling tool of action and violence and martial arts and stuff like that, but to tell a story that hasn't been told a million times by people who are A, better than you, B, have more money, C, have a distribution deal? You know, you've got to come at it from a way where you're not just going to be immediately outshined by everything that already exists. So sitting there listening to music at my desk job, which I do constantly, I always have my headphones on, and most of the story concepts that I come up with come from a song. They come from whatever the mood is from the song that I'm listening to. So I was actually listening to a song by The Heavy called How You Like Me Now, which is everywhere now.
And that song, it is. It's in a lot of commercials, right?
It's in a lot of commercials,
but I swear, that song makes you want to go get in a fight.
It does, yeah. Right? You just want to like get in a rumble in the alley, like immediately, right away.
My favorite ad it's in, though, is the one where like the sock puppet and all the toys hit Vegas. You seen that one?
No.
And then it's a car commercial, and it's kind of trying to show an SUV as not the car for squares.
Right.
They're trying to say this is like a really sexy car. So it's like the kid has left all this crap in the back, and those like the sock puppet, the sock monkey, and the whatever, all the toys kind of go on this little. So it's that iconic shot of them walking and, you know, four or five across, walking into a casino in slow-mo.
Oh, yeah.
Often emulated with a explosion in the back. It's that. And then there's like the sock monkeys on a like a mechanical bull and all this insane stuff is happening. And
your typical Vegas bachelor party experience, right. But just told with the sock monkeys.
Told in toy form. But that song is in that one. But that song makes you want to get in a fight. But it's got this nostalgic quality. It's got this kind of like 70s funk thing.
It's got that kind of vintage... that's definitely a vintage feel to it and definitely kind of like a cheeky. It's funny because the song has a bit of a sense of humor about itself. And I think that's one of the things that drew me to it because I was determined that whatever I was going to make was going to have some kind of sense of humor about itself. And it wasn't just going to be some guy taking out an army of people. And that was that, you know, we were going to have to grab that concept and flip it around and mess around with a little bit. So I was listening to that song, and you know that there's like kind of a breakdown in the end where, mm-hmm. you know, the beat kind of drops out and this kind of like emotional piano thing comes in. And I was like, man, you know, if this song were in a movie, that would be the moment where everything kind of goes into slow-mo and it looks like the hero is about to be vanquished. And then all of a sudden, as the beat comes back in and the music kind of swells back into that crescendo, something would happen.
Sure. The unexpected shoe drops or whatever.
Yeah. And I was like, what if that something wasn't the ultimate triumph of man? What if it wasn't that? What if it was a female fighter doing something interesting? And I don't want to give too much away.
Right. But that is a topic we must discuss in a moment. Yeah. We're going to take a little break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about chicks kicking ass because it is a thing that happens in this film. We are talking with Zach Livingston about his new film, Charger. It is out on the 23rd. At Music Box Theater in Chicago. And then immediately, later that night, right,
mm-hmm.
we'll be online. So definitely get thyself ready to check this out because it's very cool. And it's filmed. It is one shot, you guys. One shot, which is fascinating. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot about stage combat and fighting on in front of cameras when we come back in just a bit, 720 WGN. Now there was a time. Listen to this one for a minute. Does it make you want to get in a fight, Shane? Not with me. I don't want to fight you. But like generally.
There's a lot that makes me want to get in a fight. I'm easily angry.
It takes surprisingly little.
Shut up, Amy!
Like that. Listen to this awesome song by The Heavy.
Yeah.
Because we're hanging out with Zach Livingston, who is an actor in Chicago, who has been on this station before because we met you a few years ago in a very different play.
That's true.
But he is back now talking about his film called Charger. And it was all kind of inspired by that song we were just hearing, in a sense. It seems like a lot of things you were thinking about kind of all pulled together.
Yeah.
Around the idea that became this film.
Yeah. And the inciting incident was definitely the idea of a female character who really has agency, who really has an effect on
which
the plot.
Which is a polite way to say women kicking ass.
Which is a nice way of saying women kicking ass. And it's like, I think it's something that people are starting to recognize more now, finally.
Sure.
Thankfully.
Sure.
Thanks,
yeah.
Black Widow and everybody else who's had a chance to step up and actually get in front of the camera in a major way and show that.
Still a long way to go.
Still a long way to go. And
however,
this is, yeah.
We like progress. That's what we like. We cannot, Rome was not built in a day.
That's right.
We like progress in the right direction of strong female roles.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to take steps wherever you can. And that's been something that I've been passionate about for a long time. And it's something that I will speak loudly about with friends. And I'm very opinionated about it. And part of the whole genesis of the story was, well, it's time to put my money where my mouth is. And in terms of crowdfunding, to put your money where my mouth is, to be honest.
So we
got to
talk about that too, because as everyone who listens to the show and follows me on any kind of social media knows, I am crowdfunding obsessed right now, at least for the next 5 days while I'm running a Kickstarter. It is nerve-wracking. We'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
So the women that are in this film, they are women that kick ass, no doubt.
Yeah.
Let me back up a little bit, because I don't want to say the one who does this or the one who does this, because I would like to hear that in your words. In your mind, tell me the story of the action, because there's a little bit of dialogue, but not really. It's mostly just kind of swear words as people get hit.
Yeah, there's a lot of grunting and cursing, and actually, basically all the dialogue that you hear in the film is ad-libbed by the actors. We kind of gave them a setup, and my DP was like, well, what if they were walking this way and kind of crossing in front of the camera and they just kind of were, you know, jawing? And so a lot of that is just sort of like, whoa, this is naturally generated. But yeah, so we open on, you know, what looks like kind of a typical, uh-oh, this woman's in trouble scene. And then we kind of, you know, the camera kind of backs up and we come out of the building and there I am. And I'm obviously there to rectify the situation, take care of her. And so I bust into the building. And this is there's a moment there, and I don't want to spoil it for people, but the idea of, like, invincible man is here to save helpless woman, we present that right away, and then we immediately flip it upside down.
That is a great moment. I know exactly the moment you're talking about, and it is an excellent one.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad it reads. And that's sort of our big clue, like, oh, this isn't going to be that. This isn't going to be, like, Mr. 5% body fat guy destroys.
You know, that guy, Mr. 5% body fat guy.
You know that guy. I mean, I love that stuff, honestly. Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme is a great example. That guy's amazing. He's still amazing.
I wouldn't fight him.
The commercial where he does the split on the Volvo trucks going backwards? Remember that was like huge a minute ago?
Yeah.
Because he's still 5% body fat guy. He's amazing. He's phenomenal. But I'm not that, right? I'm like the actor who fights. So I have this whole different thing going on. So the story has to kind of fit into that. Anyway, so I'm fighting my way through this group of you know, thugs, these kind of folks, bad guys, whatever you want to call them.
And we think for a minute.
We think for a minute that I'm going to pull it off.
Even though maybe foiled
initially
a little bit, we think, oh, he's here to save the woman.
Yeah, he's totally here. And then, oops, doesn't make it.
Right.
Doesn't get far enough. And she basically has to take matters into her own hands. And solve the issue herself.
And proceeds to do so.
And proceeds to do so in spectacular fashion, I would say.
So tell me about the women, because there are two women. There's her, and then there's the other woman that you were fighting at one point.
Yeah, so that was a big question. So you're looking at casting something like this, and, you know, I know a lot of people in the local fight scene here in terms of people who fight on stage, people who fight on camera and do stunts and things like that. And so this is a funny story, actually. I was in a knife class, an SAFD, Society of American Fight Directors, plug for them, knife class up in Evanston, and most of the people in the class were females. And I was just getting to the point where I was going to start casting Charger. And I had it in my head that the only female part in the film would be the woman, the one lone woman, because to me that was making the statement about how she was kind of like caught in a man's world and she was still
fighting her way
exerting
through it.
Her influence on it. That was a big thing. And so I was totally addicted to that idea. I was like, no, everybody else is going to be a man. And so I was talking about the film with everybody. We were all having lunch and, you know, everybody's asking me about it. And they're like, well, what about auditions? And I said, well, there's only one female character. And they said, oh, of course.
Mm.
And they were like, well, you know, are you holding auditions for that character? And at the time, I already had an actress in mind. And I said, no, that character's already cast. And all of these women sitting around this table who had all just trained in knife fighting with me for the last 8 weeks all looked at me and they go, of course.
Ooh.
And I thought, I need to step my game up.
Yeah, I maybe need to change my answer.
I need to take a second look at this. And I thought, you know, it's cool to have a female character that has agency because she's kind of the good guy and she's stepping into the hero role. But if you're really going to say that women in a action and martial arts and violence context can do whatever, they have to be able to do whatever, which means they have to be able to play bad guys too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to open it up to both sides of the equation. So we do have a female character in there too, who's part of the gang of toughs that's, you know, menacing and everything else. And her name's Lauren Jones, and she's really, really awesome and amazing and tough.
Well, so this... We're going to have to take a break here in a second, but I'm so curious about, because you did this in one shot.
Yeah.
There had to be so much choreography going into this. How long did you rehearse this before you actually started shooting it?
That's a great question. We had about 80 hours of rehearsal, which I don't know if that sounds like a lot or a little. It's actually kind of a lot because I knew that we were going to need it. It's a piece of comparison for you. I don't know if you've been watching Daredevil at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the first season, episode 2. There's a really long tracking shot fight scene where they never cut. And it's in this hallway, and it's this amazing thing. Ours is longer. I have to say that. But those folks had something like 72 hours to put that together. And the guy who's doing the fights was not aware weeks ahead of time that it was going to be a single tracking shot. The director challenged him to do that with not a ton of notice from what I was reading about it. So, but you know, those are like the highest caliber of professional stunt people with amazing resources.
These are people that like flip off a semi truck in their sleep.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, they're running 18 hour days and they're all getting paid union wages and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But, it was,
So over
we
what
needed
period
a lot
of time?
More. We needed a lot more time to be able to do that. So it's over months.
Okay.
So we started rehearsing like, I want to say March, something like that, and we shot it in June.
Because you really had to have, given that this is the entire film is one shot.
Yeah.
You really had to have this like choreographed like a dance sequence on some level.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
had to
do
the whole thing.
And it's time
so
to the music.
Details. Right.
So
right.
We didn't end
Not
up using that.
That
track because it was way too expensive. I remember talking to the rights owners, and they were saying, "Listen, we have a lot of other songs that might work for this. We really don't even think you want this one because it's going to end up costing you so much money.
It'll be all of your budget."
Yeah, it would like half of the budget would have been the song. So we went back to the drawing board on that. But part of the vision was to have things timed out to the music. So there's this kind of hit at the end, which you probably noticed that happens right as the music kicks back in,
mm-hmm.
and that's all part of it. So you have to have an unbelievable amount of rehearsal. That also means that you have to play the track live while we're recording. So what that means is we have no location sound. Every sound you hear in the movie is done later on. It's all ADR. It's all Foley.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And the location was gorgeous too. Where were you filming that?
So we
such a cool warehouse. It really sets the mood wonderfully.
I went location scouting with my roommate on my motorcycle. I was like, you get on the back and you're going to take pictures of places as we go. And it actually was the first place that we came across. And it's in Ravenswood, close to Ravenswood and Lawrence. They're building out a new restaurant there called Band of Bohemia. And we reached out to those folks, and Craig Sindelar there was the guy in charge and really fantastic about partnering with us to provide us with this location. And it just happened to sync up perfectly so that they were at a phase of their construction where they were clearing out the space and they just put in a new concrete floor.
So that works out.
Yeah. So we just had this beautiful, raw, open space with these giant, you know, iron girder kind of columns and just raw brick everywhere and 25-foot ceilings.
Really good moody lighting. Those big windows really, like, conveyed a lot, I thought.
It looks like natural daylight, right?
It does.
It's
it
not,
was not.
None of it is natural
you had to
daylight.
Shoot on weird hours.
I was obsessed with trying to get natural daylight, and my DP, my director of photography, he was really diplomatic about it. He listened and he was like, mm-hmm,
yeah, not gonna knock
you don't want that. Yeah,
that's not a thing.
You absolutely
that we're gonna
do not want that. It's a funny story about the lighting actually, because when we were originally talking about how to light this, Rudy Rubio is my DP, and he said, well, the best way to do it really is to shut down the sidewalk outside of the building and have lighting instruments out there. big giant lighting instruments. And I said, Rudy, that's insane. How could we possibly pay for that? I don't have money in the budget for, you know, lighting instruments as big as, you know, a small car. And he said, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, that's what they would do for features. We can't do that. We're just going to get some lights from Magnanimous Media, which provided us with a lot of equipment. They're going to hook us up with lights, and we'll hide them inside, and it'll be fine. And I said, great. Because I had a million other things. I'm producing this as well. So
yeah,
a million
you're like,
other
do your thing, Rudy.
Yeah, man.
I gotta do my thing.
Whatever you need in terms of lights, you just do it. And then a few days before we were going to shoot, Rudy calls me, and he says, no, we got to have the big lights.
Oh, no.
I said, Rudy, we've been through this. There's no budget for that. And Rudy says, I'll pay.
Wow.
I'll pay to rent all the lighting equipment. You've just got to get the permits. So I get on the phone with the city of Chicago, and I'm getting permits to shut down the sidewalk outside this building.
City of Chicago loves that.
They have a film office, and they will do that for you.
They
so,
will.
You know, they basically show up and they hang up signs that say,
don't
filming,
park here.
Yeah,
we're going to haul your car
location.
Away.
So,
and you got it, and you did your daylight.
Yeah. So
awesome.
We did the daylight.
I love it. All right, my friends, we're talking with Zach Livingston. He's an actor and filmmaker here in Chicago, and his film Charger is coming out hella soon on November 23rd. You can see it at the Music Box, and immediately after, you can catch it online. We're talking to him about all of the stuff because he wore many hats for this project. So we're talking with him about all of those hats that he wore, including Star. He was in it and he fought in it. So there's a lot going on. We'll be right back in just a bit to talk more with him. 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth hanging out with you till 2 o'clock when we turn things over to Dave Plyer. We have been having so many good guests this evening. You know I don't let you down, my friends. So right now, we are talking with our friend Zach Livingston, who is an actor in Chicago. You have probably seen him in tons of stuff, but he's doing this new project, which is so cool. It is a live-action short independent film that he did in one shot. Now think about that. Think about a fight sequence that you see in a movie where people are just kicking ass, right? Now imagine all of that in one shot. Not cutting away to this person, doing this. That means the entire length of the movie, the whole time, they're fighting. They're fighting nonstop. They're doing this not one take. I'm sure you had a few takes, but one
we
shot.
We had a few takes, yeah.
And we just learned before the news break that because the fight sequence is set to music, which is another layer of difficulty, you had to have the music playing in the facility or in the location where you were shooting.
Set. Yeah, we had to play back music, so we couldn't use any of the location sound.
Fascinating.
So it's like, what else can we do to make this harder?
Right. How can I make this more difficult?
How can we turn it up to 11 with every single thing that we're doing? And we have people tell us, you're not going to do that.
And you absolutely do. I got to see it a little bit early. I'm super excited. You can see it on November 23rd at the Music Box Theater in Chicago, which is so beautiful. That place up on Southport. I love that place. Tickets are $10.
$10.
That's a bargain for this awesome
film.
But then right after that, you can get it online. Where can people go to find it online and all that stuff once it's out?
Yes. So we have a website, chargerfilm.com. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/chargerfilm.
And that's where we can find out about the screening tickets and all that good stuff
on
Facebook.
Any social media thing. It's just @chargerfilm or @chargerfilm.
Excellent.
We're all over all that stuff. So it's really easy to find us.
And so you gathered together a group of how many people? 7?
There are 8 actors total, including myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 8 of you get together, and it's this long fight sequence where you're pretty much beating the crap out of each other and to music, and it's time to music, which is, you guys, think that through. That's not easy to do, so let's just think about that.
It was really hard.
And you rehearsed for a while
to
get that all done, because you really had to plan this like a long dance sequence. I mean, it's really, there's a lot of choreography.
Yeah.
Now, how many people of the eight of you were approaching it from a background of a martial art or defense system, and how many of you were approaching it from stage combat?
That's a great question. There's a little bit of overlap because we have people like me who have...
You do both.
I do both. I came from originally Taekwondo and then Hapkido and then Muay Thai, Thai boxing.
That's
so
serious.
I've done all that stuff.
I've tried Muay Thai a little bit.
Yeah.
I do Krav. And
which is awesome, which is really cool.
Krav is fun. Roger Badish and I have discussed this many times.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, he's going to get his wish. He wants to make a video in which I just beat the tar out of him.
I want to get dressed up in that really big padded suit and have her just beat the snot out of me.
Great. Like the Michelin Man kind of suit.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And just have Amy go to town on you.
Oh, man. You get your strength back. I know you kind of took a beating a month or so ago.
Well, a couple things happened.
Yeah.
I got punched in the eye, and then I got the elbow thing.
Yeah. Let's get you back in one piece.
The hazards of martial arts training.
And I'm ready for it. I want to experience
We've got it on record now that you said that you're ready.
Oh,
so when this happens.
I've heard this on record so many times. I can make a supercut of Badish admitting this to me.
Nice. Yeah.
There have been so many times where he just wants me to beat him
senseless.
We're both
saying, we're ready. Yeah.
One day, but here's the thing, Badish. Yeah. I don't want you that prepared. I'm just going to one day just walk up.
It's better
and, like,
if you surprise.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, put on the suit. Don't ask questions.
Off.
You should just probably carry a mouth guard with you. You never know when it's going to strike.
Your question, though, I want to answer that because it's funny how some people came from a purely stunts background.
Mm-hmm.
Like our female lead, Stephanie Andrews, not a ton of martial arts experience actually coming into it, which you would not know.
You would never guess that.
Yeah. She would come in like we spent a lot of time working on that back kick, working on a lot of different things. But she's incredibly athletic. She has circus training. She has stunt training. She's just like an athlete. She's just a natural athlete and just fierce. But, you know, she didn't come from this intense martial arts background. She came from this stunt background. She actually came in with Jim Priz, who's the first big guy that I fight for, like, an extended portion in the movie. Mm-hmm. And they've done stunt training together for, like, years.
Hmm.
So they come in, and she's, like, this tiny woman. And he's this huge dude. And they just proceed. I had, like, an open section of the audition where I said, okay, for the next, you know, whatever, 90 seconds, free form. Yeah, just do whatever you want to do. Show me what you got. And they just absolutely beat the ever-loving snot out of each other. I mean, he was just chucking her across the room like a freaking rag doll. She's wearing a gator back, which is like this back protector thing. But I didn't know it, right? So I just see him like throw her across the room,
whoa,
and she just lands on her spine and screams. And then they just get up like it's no big deal. And I was like, all right, you guys are in.
Yeah, and we're done here. Yeah.
Yeah,
nice.
Basically.
That's so interesting. I would have totally thought she had martial arts just watching them.
Mm-hmm.
I would have totally said, because her form was very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she just worked on it.
I mean, it
was hard work too, you know? Like the rehearsals that we had were grueling. I mean, we had like 4-hour-long rehearsals. And it was like I got in some of the best shape of my personal
career. I was going to say, it's a heck of a workout.
Yeah, it's nuts. And because I was in so much of the choreography, I'm like the linchpin of everything that's going on. So the whole rehearsal, if I can't do it, we just have to stop. So
they're like, don't wimp out. I'm not doing this again. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So it became very clear to me in the very beginning that I would just have to kind of like lead by doing and just make sure that I was bringing everything that I got from the top.
And what is that experience like as actor and director? We see filmmakers do that from time to time, but they're usually not beating anyone up while that they're in a position as an actor where they have some awareness of this, you know, a lot of awareness of the scene around them. They're not necessarily moving quickly or throwing somebody or doing something like that. What was that experience like?
Well, I was primed for it, I think, a little bit more than a lot of actors would be because I am also a fight choreographer in the theater community and I do some film work here and there as well. So I already had that background. So I was already kind of used to stepping back from a project and taking a bigger look at it and saying, okay, these moving pieces need to go here. These moving pieces need to go there. Putting yourself in the picture is hard, but I've done that a couple of times before, but it's funny, like leading the process and leading the room. A great example of that is actually Jackie Chan. And one of the reasons that Jackie Chan doesn't work in America quite as much is there's so much control of the time in a Hollywood film where like they bang through, they've just got to move it. Every minute is just a bajillion dollars. So you can't, but Jackie, all those great things that you see Jackie do in all of his classic films, it took like dozens of hours. He does this thing where he throws a fan and catches it. It's 100 takes. But when Jackie Chan shoots a movie in Hong Kong, he's not the director of the movie. But when it's like, okay, we're going to do the action sequence in this film, the director just goes home. And Jackie just runs the show.
Let him go.
Yeah, just let him go. And I think it goes back to that sort of action as a storytelling medium. You have to have some faith in that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some faith that your choreography is not just you know, violent dance moves. It's
right. That's not just decoration. That
yeah,
it has
it's not.
Purpose there.
Yeah, it's not set dressing. It's mm-hmm. not part of the production design. Mm-hmm. It's a key intrinsic element of what we're doing. It is the story in a lot of ways.
And usually, where we see that is when it becomes something to escalate the plot quickly.
Yeah.
Like this person gets their ass kicked and therefore the plot has changed.
Yeah.
Or this person is taken out or something like that. It is quickly changed the storyline, but it's rarely the tool itself. It's kind of a means to an end.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the idea that you want with fighting, and it applies to stage and film, you're using that because words are no longer cutting it, right? You need a different kind of way to talk.
Which is the same as an actual fight.
Right.
Really?
Because exactly.
It will escalate to the point of someone hitting somebody.
Yeah. But the idea that you have to carry through from the dialogue into the fighting is that it's still dialogue. They're still characters. They still have to express themselves. So you can't forget that when you're giving them, you know, different moves to do in different sequences. A lot of effort, especially in the stuff that I do, goes into showing you the thought process. Like, why would somebody throw that punch at that time? Well, it's because they're bigger than the other person, and that's the technique that's most effective for their body type, you know, or they're throwing it and they're angry now because of something that just happened to them before that you also saw. You got to give people a reason for doing things. Otherwise, it's just this sort of like disconnected, beautiful flailing around, which is
right,
fine. You know, it's
fine.
Beautiful, and I've seen a lot of, you know, wonderful stuff like that, but you can't, I mean, to me, like, pure technical ability isn't, it's just not what we wanted to do for mm-hmm. this, basically.
Mm-hmm. And so there was someone else in the cast, right, that also has a pretty extensive fighting background rather than stage combat, yes?
There's a couple. Yeah. Kyle Encinas, who's one of the fighters in the film, has done a ton of martial arts as well. Kai Young has done a ton of martial arts as well. He does a lot of, I believe it's Filipino martial arts. So a lot of the really cool, like, complicated kind of joint lock blocks.
It
kind of
looks like breakdancing.
Yeah.
To watch it, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that kind of redirection of force stuff was actually Kai's ideas. Everybody had, like, mm-hmm. a little dabbling. Some of the guys had a ton. They had a lot more, which is helpful. And one of the things that I love to do when I'm running a room in terms of doing fight choreography is bringing all that in and really making use of that. And that's why when you look at the credits, it says fight choreography by me, mm-hmm. Assistant fight choreographers Danielle Stahl, who isn't in the film, but she was one of my assistant fight choreographers. That's another thing that I want to mention. And to me, I think this is really important when you're talking about women in film. It's not just the two female characters that we have in the film, but I'm trying to get women behind the camera as well, because that, even if I don't realize how that affects the film, it affects the film.
It does.
And it's important, I think, to have.
I definitely agree with that. I think that is super important. And I think that applies in a lot of ways to a lot of projects.
Yeah.
I think that even extends to journalism and storytelling.
Yeah.
So the project that I'm working on, while my project is about women and online harassment, I'm keenly aware that women of color have a whole entire other layer of that.
That's a great point.
Right? When a woman of color is harassed online, it also often takes a very racist tone as
right.
well as a violent tone.
Right.
So in my case, I have like an advisory group together of people with very different points of view, very different life experiences mm-hmm. to help me think through every step of
right.
each project.
Because you're one person. I mean, as big as right. your vision is, you're never going to be able to consider every single angle alone.
Or every single point of view alone.
Right.
And it's very important to have all of those thoughts. And so I really applaud that you did that because it does matter. I mean, I've even yeah. said that about newsrooms for a long time, that
oh, sure.
if you don't have a diverse newsroom, you're going to just miss big beats of stories.
Oh, absolutely. It just won't even occur. It just, you know, things will just fly right over your head. And the insidious thing about stuff like that is that you don't realize when you've missed out on the opportunity as an organization, because it's flown directly over your head. Mm-hmm. And you just didn't see it coming.
Right.
So, yeah, again, with Charger, I mean, Danielle's in there. The thing I was going to say is we had additional fight choreography by the Charger fight team, which mm-hmm. is what I consider all the actors to be. They all had a voice. You know, if they said, it doesn't really make sense for me to move this way, I think I should move this way, we would have that discussion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in terms of women behind the camera, it was really important. Like, if I could have had an all-female crew, I would have. That would have been amazing. As it is, we had a female line producer, associate producer, assistant producer, first AD, assistant fight choreographer, and I think that's it for the major the major players.
Right on.
But yeah,
I'm happy to hear that.
I did as much as I could there.
Nicely done. Yeah. My friends, we're talking with Zach Livingston about his awesome project. It is called Charger. It is a film that was done in one shot with, clearly, if you have been listening to this, a ton of thought behind the things that go into that one shot. So, on November 23rd, head to the Music Box and check out the premiere. The tickets are $10. You can get them on the Facebook page, facebook.com/ChargerFilm. Pretty much Charger Film everything. Twitter, Instagram, I think, too.
We're on Instagram, too.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Find them, connect with them. Because it is an awesome film. I get to see a little bit early, which is super exciting. I loved it. It is super cool. If you cannot make it to the Music Box on November 23rd, then what you need to do is watch online. It will be on the website.
It'll be on YouTube.
ChargerFilm.com. Actually, yeah. Okay.
We have our own custom YouTube channel that it's going to be on.
Nice.
But if you just follow us on the social media channels, we're going to be
You'll know
link.
When it's up.
Yeah, you guys will definitely know.
It'll be loudly trumpeted when it's up. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
Amy.
So much for coming by tonight.
I really appreciate it.
You guys, you're going to love this. Baddish, you're going to love this too. You're going to love.
I know.
You're going to be jealous. You're going to be like, I wish I was in
that. I'm going to be very jealous. We didn't have that many fight scenes in the movies that I produced. But we were dealing with high school students. So
yeah, that's not a thing you want to do. That's a whole lot of liability.
We actually did. We depicted in two different films, we depicted shootings, but we didn't show the shootings. Because we had to go around that.
Roger, was one of those high school films and one of those high school kids, Zac Efron, playing Troy Bolton in High School Musical? Did you executive produce High School Musical?
No. I can't make that claim. No, we had a rapping grandma.
Okay,
in one movie, right. But I didn't do High School.
Okay,
Musical.
Baddish. Let's take a break.
We
up there.
Did.
Yeah. On that note, I'm going to take a break and.
How your face feel? That's what she said.
It is getting so weird in here right now. I don't even know what's happening. All right, Baddish, we're taking a break now.
Thank you guys.
A thing
Thank
that
you
is happening
me.
Now. Thanks for being with us tonight, Zach. Again, Charger the film. Go to Charger Films. It is on the on November 23rd at Music Box, or you can watch it online. It's an awesome short film that was all one shot of awesome fighting. You will love it, I promise you. All right, we'll be back in just a bit. 720 WGN.